I'm very pleased to welcome back to Free Metal Shipping News, Kate Hewlett.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, a lot of things have happened, Kate Hewlett, since you were last here as a candidate in the state election for the seat of Fremantle. And even I, you know, lots of seasoned commentators thought you didn't have much of a chance. They thought you'd make a big splash. But,
thank you.
But it had peter out. And you lost by, I think Simone McGurk told me, 424 votes.
Which is effectively half of that once you're considering the preferences.
It's just amazing. And if a couple of hundred people had voted the other way, you'd currently be in the Parliament.
Well, there was 800 spoiled votes. So it really does show how important, you know, voting is and how impactful every single vote is. And I think that that is a huge message for me, that people are so, you know, what I learned was people are so unsure about a whole civic, you know, education. They don't know about preferential voting and what that really means and all these things. And actually, gosh, every vote really does have a huge impact.
You sort of understand better for those countries that don't have compulsory voting how important it is to get the vote out. But then the next step, which is important here, is making sure people don't smudge their vote. You know, they don't fill it in incorrectly. Right. If they want to vote, to make sure they do it properly.
100%.
And as you say, you've got a right to cast preferences. So I suppose the big question is now, why are you running for the federal seat? I would have thought you'd be burnt out, exhausted, having an ice bath and putting your feet up.
I think you can be both. yeah, I mean, it's, I guess first thing to say is every 12 years the state election and the federal election coincide. You know, one is on a four-yearly cycle and one's on a three-yearly cycle. So this year, 2025, they are both aligning. As you've alluded to, our state run was, you know, really was momentous in its impact and in its outcome. And the actual change in people's perception and connection with politics was palpable. You know, I could not walk through the streets without someone hopping off a bus to say, oh my gosh, how's it going? And yeah, coming to talk to me and ask me questions and stuff. And for me, that was quite unexpected and quite impactful, you know, personally. And I think as the campaign team, we were really blown away with that. And actually what it showed was how much people were thirsty for information about politics and how much they had felt excluded for so long. Right, so people were suddenly engaged, they're paying attention, they're talking to their friends about it. People from all over the electorate were saying, oh, you know, we were talking about your dinner last night and I've been chatting with my family and, you know, it came up in the pub. And what an incredible opportunity we have then to change the whole country if people are paying attention to politics. What's happened is, of course, people tune out and then any old shit happens, you know, in Parliament. So, yeah, we had this incredible election campaign. It was electric. It felt electric. Exhaustingly electric. Is that, you can be both those things, perhaps. We finished the, we you know, ran our campaign on election day. By the end of the day, we realised that it was just, you know, littered with issues, the actual administration of it and the logistics of it. But we were elated because it felt like a party everywhere we went. People were so excited to participate, saying that it was the first time they'd voted and they, you know, got their friends to come out and so on. And, you know, as you know, on election night we were, and off the back of election day, we were really far ahead with the vote and it was exhilarating. The following 2 weeks were really eye-opening in what happened with the WAEC and how that all progressed. But what was clear was that there was an appetite for more, you know, and when we felt like we'd won, even though we didn't get the seat, you know, and then it just came up so many times that we should keep going, we should keep going, and people saying, are you going to keep going, that I was, it wasn't really an option for me to say no, because things are so urgent and desperate at the moment. Our politics is going so bad in Australia, in Western Australia, in the world, that I would never be able to live with myself if we didn't, you know, hold on to this momentum and grow it and see what we can do with it.
Tell me this, from that experience you've had, when you launched it, you said, I'm not a politician, I've come here to do this. You can probably say that you are now a qualified politician because you've gone through this vast process. But what have you learnt from that experience running for Fremantle in the state seat? Particularly, what have you learnt that you think's referable and relevant to the campaign for the federal seat of Fremantle?
I think people just want to be talked normally. You know, they want to have normal conversations and not be evaded, you know, or it's too hard, or it's complicated, or you probably don't understand that, ... And we just spoke directly to people. And I, you know, you say I'm a politician. I guess I've watched politicians, and what I've learned is that it's almost all about press releases and photo opportunities. And the whole time I was thinking, when are people actually doing the job of, you know, running this place? And what I've learned is when I talk directly to people in a frank and honest way, they respond. Because they think, oh, that's interesting, that was a question I was unsure of. But of course I felt excluded for so long, I didn't have an entry point into this system, so I guess I'll just tune out. So we're just tuning back into people by talking to people exactly like you and I are talking now, you know. And what I can see on reflection is that having had my shop for so long, I really have been practicing by talking to thousands and thousands of people over the last 11 years or 12 years.
A number of people have commented on the nature of the campaign that you run. You had sort of pop-up events happening here and there around Fremantle, and I don't know, do you think you knocked on as many doors as you did other things? I mean, the whole world of communication keeps moving and changing.
Of course, and it is hard to, you know, if an election's every 4 years, what changes over those 4 years is so dramatic that it's hard to actually say, well, this was the best thing you could ever do, because in four years' time, who knows what will be the way that people consume media. Personally, I was conscious of, you know, I live in an apartment, so no one can ever knock on my door. They can't get into my flippin' through the gate. So I'm conscious of that, and I thought, well, let's be as accessible as we can in every corner of the electorate as we can, and offer people the opportunity to stroll by without pressure. I know people don't want to just go and have a cup of tea with a politician. How boring. But they might stroll over and check you out and have a chat and make the decision.
So it's a reverse version of door knocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Come
so
to
we
my
did,
house
we did
instead
both.
Of meeting.
Yeah, yeah. But within your park, you might be there anyway walking your dog, so come by. We've got croissants if you want one, you know, that kind of thing. But yes, you've got to talk to as many people as you can, and it's really hard to get to people. You know, hardly anyone buys a newspaper. Everyone's online, but they're online in completely different ways. Everyone's consuming things in different ways. So you have to hit so much stuff. And the interesting thing about our campaign, I suppose, is that because none of us have worked in political systems, we were trying to deliver it as if we were launching a product or a brand or a business or a concept of an idea or an event. So we were looking at it like, how would we promote this thing? And I was kind of looking at myself objectively, I suppose. And I think we did a really good job.
Now, tell me, when it comes to voting day, voters will be going in, people will be handing out how to vote cards, and we'll have all the preferences, whatever happens this time on the preference arrangements. And I guess you're all the wiser for preference sharing. But what are the issues going to be that will lead up to the election? When people say to you, well, that's well and good, we know what Josh stands for, he's talked about this and that, and he's the minister for this and that, but what about you? What will be your key issues in the next, well, it's not many weeks, is it?
5 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people just want to live a nice life, and they want to have enough money in their pockets to pay their rent or their mortgage and buy groceries and maybe go on holiday every year. And when it comes to the work of the politicians is as public servants. They serve us. Their job is to make our quality of life better. And what we can see is that the two major parties are spending their time fighting between each other and throwing the hot potato at each other, and Meanwhile, you can't get a bag of groceries for less than $100, you know. And we just are not being represented. And no matter what the major parties say, their voting records are 100% the same as each other. So they may say we're doing the best for you, but they're doing the best for their party. And where we've got great independent candidates across Australia, we can see that actual work is being done, actual fundamental positive changes to our laws and legislation and our policies. And that is because of a really strong crossbench who are interrogating laws and they're pushing them to be better for regular people, not for big corporations, not for lobbyists, not for the gambling industry, not for the mining industry, but for you and me. And that is what I intend to do. I intend to go in and represent Fremantle. And the federal electorate is huge. It's 100,000 people or more. So it's really diverse. But fundamentally, we all want to be represented well. We don't want to be ripped off by paying more tax than flipping gas companies and you know, the big corporations. And that's what it comes down to for me, you know, listening to people and then fighting on their behalf for the things that are important to them.
In terms of the Fremantle electorate that you just very broadly described, because all electorates around the country have to be more or less about the same size, Fremantle, when you say Fremantle, where we are right now in the west end of Fremantle, is a bit different from the rest of the electorate that's called Fremantle in the federal sphere. Yeah. Goes quite a way south. And a lot of people are wondering how well known you are further south and east of here. I imagine there's quite a lot of work to be done in a sense, raising your profile and getting to people in the rest of the electorate outside old Fremantle, you might say.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider the major two parties that have been around forever, they don't really need to work too hard because people start just voting for red Labor or blue Liberal, and they don't really need to know who the person is, or, you know, it's just like, that's how I vote, that's how we've always voted. So yes, you need to present yourself as a viable candidate and someone that they can trust and get behind. And that's the hard work of it. You know, it's much, much easier for the major parties because they've had millions and millions and millions of dollars spent establishing themselves through all of the electorates, through the whole of Australia.
Well, the as well-established parties, they have branches.
And of course, yeah.
Got people who are organised in all of these places around the Fremantle electorate.
And they're all paid, of course. That's their
jobs.
Well,
some of them. There's lots of people who join parties and don't get paid and go out and hand out how-to-vote cards and
on the day. But your elected representative and their staff are all paid to, you know, be talking to people and getting out there and doing the job of presenting themselves. So yeah, that's the trickiest part, getting out into all the corners.
So from the state campaign you go to the federal campaign, and have you got sort of the infrastructure in place?
Well, that's
still
the beauty. Yes, of course, we've got 2 months of work done, and of course Kate for Fremantle, fortunately the state and the federal seats are
haven't wasted all of the naming.
So we've got everything. Yeah, we've got the branding, we've got the people, we just are scaling up what we've done, and we've got an incredible base. You know, our social media was unbelievably broad and wide reaching. You know, I've had people messaging me from London going, I'm refreshing the, you know, ABC website in the dark depths of Tasmania, people checking in. And so yes, I hope that we've already spoken to some of those people in Auburn Grove and Treby and so on, but we've got to get our faces in front of those people and make sure they know that a community independent candidate is a really good way to get better results for them.
So 5 weeks to go, what do you see to be the biggest challenges?
Financing a campaign is huge, especially when it's four times as big as the one we've just done, and in such a short period of time. And really it is getting out there, as you've said, it's getting to as many people as we can, door knocking, having events, posters up, yard signs up, you know, phoning people, all of the things, emails, social media, radio, anything that we can do to get to people, that's what we need to do. That's the hardest bit because we've got a lot to fit into a very short period of time and give people enough time to consider it, you know, and ponder it. And maybe, you know, we had the experience of lots of people saying, oh, I've seen you around, but I just wanted to come and check you out. You know, they just need to make that, you know, gut decision straight on. And then they say, oh, yeah, I just wanted to see
that you're real.
You're okay. Yeah. And so that takes time, of course.
In your campaign, or in the campaign for Fremantle by Everybody, one of the most visible aspects of the campaign was, you know, I'll vote for anyone who's in favour of no fracking in the Kimberleys, and you'd see these signs everywhere, slightly less relevant probably to the federal election. Are we going to see something that sort of replaces that? Are you going to have a nifty campaign pitch that you can share?
For federal? Well, you know, the getting a ban on fracking in the Kimberley was something that Fremantle people are really passionate about, is something Fremantle people are really passionate about. And it really aligned with what we were talking about. So it was just a nice, we could just elevate and, you know, amplify each other's messages. It's still shocking to me that Labor haven't banned fracking in the Kimberley, but here we are. In terms of the next 5 weeks, if there's something underlying, I'm not sure if there is something. I mean, the fracking campaign is so incredible, and I mean, they've been doing that for 12 years or something, so they didn't just come out of nowhere. They've been really working on that for a long time. So, you know, I was at the very beginning and I met some of their campaigners. I said, if I lost but fracking was banned, it would be, you know, almost a better outcome, because I just think it's so important and so vital for us all. And, you know, there's no way that's being dropped. You know, we're still going to work like heck to get that done.
Different people at different times don't like being called a teal. I've had people write Fremantle Shipping News or even badge me in public places to say, stop calling Kate Hewlett a teal. I said, well, I'm not sure that I had, but in any event, I describe you as a community candidate, teal-like.
Yes.
Is that unfair? You've adverted to the people in Canberra already who are on the crossbench, and a lot of them are.
So-called
teals.
I think it was, I guess it was a Murdoch media term that everyone's taken on.
It's a bit pejorative initially, but
it's a term of praise,
I think.
It's a short way of saying community independence, because all these people have come from a community movement. So that's fewer syllables. And also it's a way to say they're liberal, blue kind of people, or they're running in liberal seats, but they've got environmental,
which
turns into green.
Yes,
teal,
yes.
You know? So that's what that's come from. And it's just stuck. But I think the major problem with saying teal is, you know, we're just reiterating a stupid Murdoch media term, but it is a bit derogatory, you know, it's used in a kind of negative way. And I heard recently, I think it was like in the last election, it was David Pocock who had received the most funding from Climate 200, but he's never been called a teal, of course, because he's
a
man.
So it becomes a gendered thing.
Yeah, so it's a way to belittle women who are running in, you know, politics. So there's that issue. You know, there's kind of all these issues. But for me, I'm running in a very strong Labor seat. Federally, this has been 94 years of Labor.
Yes.
So it's not liberal
it's
at
not
all.
It's not a disaffected liberal.
We are running because the community are so disaffected and so disappointed and desperate for better representation. That's why we're here. You know, you can call me whatever colour you want, but it's for better outcomes for us all. It's not about, you know.
So 5 weeks to go and very much an outline, but what are going to be the steps between now and polling day?
Well, we announced on Monday this week, so it's Friday today. So 5 days.
Week's a long time in politics,
Kate. It is a long time. There is so much happening. You know, we're very swan-like at the moment, but our legs are going like billy-o under the water. Getting all the kind of infrastructure in place has been this week. Looking at, we've, you know, as I said, we're scaling up our state campaign to be federal, figuring out which bits worked the best, which bits we can push further on. And, you know, at this point, we've kind of identified where we're door knocking over the next 5 weeks. So that kind of gets plotted in. Then we're figuring out how we get our, you know, the physical assets like the yard signs and so on out and about. And then we've got a little team working on that. And of course, all these people are volunteers. So yes, we're asking a lot of people after kind of saying the state campaign's almost finished. We're like, now put your shoes back on. We've got to go, you know, door knocking again. So fortunately, people are absolutely passionate and amped up for it. And they are thrilled that we're doing this. It's this kind of, we can, you know, this coming together, this building of a tight, passionate and expectant community is so powerful. So that's, you know, we plot those kind of big things out, the door knocking, the letter dropping, the phone banking, all those sorts of things, and then we backfill it with, you know, which shopping centres or parks or how we get out and about into the areas, and then, you know, backfill again with coming to see you for a chat or, you know, all the other little things that happen. And then, of course, there's always the little bombs that get dropped here and there that are unexpected, and you just manage those as they come.
I only ever occasionally, quite truly, because I don't have time, look at social media.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a fairly thick skin, it strikes me, the few times I have looked.
Yeah.
Do you avoid it?
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
And someone else look at it.
It's also built to be addictive, so I'm just doing what I was supposed to do by getting addicted to it. But yeah, it's pretty foul. There's people that are really horrifying on there, but it's the minority. And most of the time I take the view that they're probably quite sad people with few friends and
on with life.
Maybe they need to come and get involved and, you know, have some hope back into their outlook. So there's also heaps of bots and just fakey accounts that are just saying dumb stuff to be dumb, you know, so fine. But you have to talk to people, and, you know, most people get home and flop on the couch and have a little scroll, decompress, look at the news that way, they catch up with their friends that way, they arrange, you know, events that way, share photos that way. So you've got to be there, and you've got to be there in a way that isn't boring or corporate. You've got to be there and talk to them like humans, because we're all humans, and we just, as I keep saying, just want to live a happy life with a, you know, safe future today and for our kids and our grandkids.
Well, one of the next things that will be advertised before too long on Fremantle Shipping News will be the great debate between the federal Fremantle candidates at Notre Dame University. It'll be interesting to have everyone along and hear what you've all got to say. But again, finishing off and coming back to that person who's just walking into the polling booth, just outside the polling station, you're standing there, they spot you. They come over and they look at you again. They compare your face to the picture, the image that's on the card they've got.
One lady said, "You look quite like her."
Well, not entirely AI. Mm-hmm. And they say, "Now tell me before I go in, what is it that you are saying? What's the reason I should vote for you?"
Well, first of all, I would like to say I think we should ban how to vote cards like they have in New Zealand and not have all that mess out the front and all that wasted printing and people hounding you as you walk in. I think that that is undemocratic in a way, because it's kind of representing deals which are done behind closed doors, and it's also a horrible waste of materials. Anyhow, that wouldn't be the first thing I say to someone. I would say, you and I know the major parties have failed us. They've failed us in Fremantle, they've failed us in WA, and they've failed us in Australia. We, as a country, are looking for better, more real and true representatives, and that's what I'm offering for you. someone that can really speak on your behalf in Canberra.
Kate Hewlett, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck with everything you're up to.
See you soon.
Here we are.
Beauty. Thank you.